out Fireside Dining alongside their delicious food and at downtownwoodfire.com.
Making a move.
Side dining alongside their delicious food and extensive
hey.
Check out the full menu at downtownwoodfire.com.
Hey, Robert, it sounds like you have a lot of access going on. What's that? You're getting
it anymore. Thinking about making a move? Then check us out on Fireside Dining.
Hello. Hey, how's it going there, Brett? I mean, Eric, what's happening?
Well, sounds like it's going all right now.
Cool. Right on. Right on. Hey, you're listening to the Rapartee, and we just had a little teeny, snafu here. I want to welcome everybody here. And, you know, I have Henry Boucher that's going to be on later here at our home studio. And I also have Spike Moss calling in, and we're talking about there is no honor in racism, not your mascot march that's happening tomorrow. It's a beautiful thing. I want to welcome everybody here. But first, I want to talk to Kayla Kelly, who's in Hawaii. And Kayla Kelly does on Native Roots Radio Network a great show called The Native Truth. And I just want to check in with what's happening in Hawaii, and I wish I was in Hawaii. Welcome to the Rapartee.
Aloha, Robert. Thank you for having me on the show.
Right on, right on. Hey, I've gotten a lot of good buzz about your show. Maybe we can talk just a little bit about your podcast that you have out there, and also what's happening in Hawaii.
Oh, sure. Well, it's called The Native Truth, and I'm really glad that the people in your network are listening to it and sharing it. That's great. I appreciate that. And mainly, it's something that I started, about 7 weeks ago. So it's still pretty new, and it's my way of, you know, taking my experience as a journalist and a filmmaker and a commentator and a political activist and creating some newsy kind of media that people can access pretty much at will, because that's the beauty of podcasts, as you said earlier. So it's the first time I've tried a podcast, but I feel pretty good about it. It's an opportunity to I refer to it as the decolonized stories of Native peoples. And Robert, if we do our stories, that is the truth. We don't have time to not tell the truth.
That's
so,
right.
So that's why I call it The Native Truth. It's also kind of a play on The Naked Truth. But the way I have it broken down is I have just like a 2 to 3 minute news segment, and then I do an interview with, I'll have a guest on the show, and then I now have a segment that's called Kupuna Talk Story, which is, eventually it'll include other elders, but right now it's pretty much just been my mom talking about growing up at Ho'okena Beach in South Kona. So, and the stories are heartbreaking and beautiful at the same time, because she's speaking about a time, like this bygone era, because it's so overdeveloped now in Kona. It doesn't really exist the way it used to. So it's kind of this mix of Hawaiian stories, Hawaiian issues, but also that news segment and the interview part lets me include other Native peoples and issues. For instance, it's an opportunity to talk about West Papua and to connect Hawaiians with the ongoing story of the missing and murdered indigenous women up there on the continent. There are so many stories in Native world that don't get either are underreported or not reported at all. And tragically, because there are so few shows like the shows you do, like Native Roots Radio, there are too few Native shows. So it's important, I think, to link up all of our issues so that we can see each other, you know, across the globe, not just, you know, I want people to understand what's going on in the Pacific, but I also want people in the Pacific here in Hawaii to connect with, you know, what's going on in the continent, what's happening in Ecuador, what's happening in the Amazon, because it's always Native peoples who are right there on the front line of every, especially with regard to climate change. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
That's awesome. So I know you've had some great guests on, too, and I know on your inaugural show that you had some guy from Minnesota on your show.
I had you on my show. I had Robert Pilot as my guest on the show. That was fun. That was great. And great. I also had Kayla Hopeshota was also on that show, and she's one of the longtime activists with regard to protecting Mauna Kea from the 30-meter mm-hmm. telescope and many other telescopes. She's been protecting that mountain for 20 years. Sure. So, again, that's a perfect example of what that kind of a show can do. I can connect her story with what's going on in Minneapolis and in the Minnesota area. And I remember, I think you and I talked about representation that day, right? We were talking about mm-hmm. how natives are represented in media. I think it was about the Johnny Depp thing with that perfume. That was one of the things we were talking about. But there's just this broad scope of issues, right, that can be addressed in a show like that.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a totally bizarre thing. And, you know, we have Johnny Depp pretending he's native in the Lone Ranger. And you know, it's just crazy. So, hey, what's the update in Hawaii other than it's beautiful? I know things have slowed down a little bit about the telescope, but there's other things happening.
Yeah, the telescope issue, the TMT and the Mauna Kea protest is ongoing, and it's in its third month. And that hasn't, you know, it's a stalemate, basically. But what's interesting is that the spirit of that protest, which a lot of people refer to as Kapu Aloha, meaning it's a very peaceful protest, that has gotten into the wind, and it's happening in other parts of Hawaii now. So about 3 weeks ago, there was a protest on Oahu, in an area called Waimanalo, and I think almost 30 people were arrested at that protest, and they were trying to stop and are still trying to stop a redevelopment of the Waimanalo Beach Park, a $32 million redevelopment that's supposed to turn it in. The county wants to turn it into a multi-purpose athletic field. So a lot of people don't realize how small Hawaii is, and Oahu is this really overcrowded place. I mean, there's over 1 million people on that tiny island. And so those protests were similar to the protest over here about Mauna Kea. And then a week ago, protest to stop a giant wind turbine farm in Kahuku, also on Oahu. That I think over 60 people have been arrested. That's an ongoing protest. And again, Kapu Aloha, very peaceful protest. But that one, I have to tell you, Robert, that was the scariest one I've seen. Now, if I had been there, it probably would have been scarier, but I'm on Hawaii Island. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of cops showed up to arrest those people. It was almost, it was like a police state, what I saw happening when I saw the live stream. So it's both heartbreaking, but also encouraging to see Hawaiians standing up. You know, in that case, they're trying to stop a wind farm that would be, when it's all said and done. I mean, just to give people a sense of the scope of that, the turbines, the propellers on those turbines are the wingspan of a jumbo jet. That's how big it is. It's like almost 600 feet high. Right. And so we have these endangered species. We have our endangered bat. We have endangered and threatened species in that area. And so they get permission from the county and the state to kill off these, you know, anything that flies over there. So it's a really, these aren't small projects. These are massive. It's like the 30-meter telescope. It would be the largest telescope in the hemisphere, the second largest telescope on Earth. These massive projects come over here, and they dominate, and they destroy the environment. So that protest is one people really need to watch, because that's a really important protest, and that's where we really see the arm of the state reaching in and shutting it down. And there have been reports of police brutality.
Well, you know, I was telling Henry how this show started earlier that because of Standing Rock, you know, there was all this misinformation. So I really appreciate the information you're bringing us, because there's not too many places that we can really find out what the truth is, and the militarization of the police that's happening there and all around. We need to be vigilant and be the eyes and ears, because the press isn't, you know, the press that's owned, 80% is owned by six companies. So that's why I really appreciate being on AM 950.
Oh, you're so lucky to have that over there. I mean, I'd say I envy you, but that would be an understatement. it's wonderful that you're able to do the shows that you're doing, and you're right. And I have to say this about Standing Rock, you know, that the spirit of Standing Rock, we're all still feeling that, Robert. The resistance, mm-hmm. we're still feeling the spirit of that mm-hmm. everywhere, you know, and it's growing, I think, especially among Native peoples. So the more that we know about what's going on, you know, in different parts of, you know, whether it's in Indian country or in the Pacific or Latin America, the stronger we will be.
That's right. That's right. And again, you know, I need to say Pini Gigi and thank you for what you've been doing and being on the front lines and telling your truth and the truth of what you see in Hawaii. So I really appreciate you. You're with your podcast. You also write for the Native online. What's the name of that
Indian
again?
Indian Country
Native?
Today.
Yeah, and so getting all that information out, I really appreciate what you do. And Pini Gigi for being on in Native Roots Radio Network, too. And I really, it's just really great to hear your show.
Well, mahalo nui, Robert, and I hope people tune into the Native Truth podcast whenever they get around to it and, you know, check out our stories.
Right on. Well, thanks again for spending a little time with us in such a short notice, and I really appreciate you. So have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, so you too.
Ahu, Pini Gigi. So that was Kayla Kelly from Hawaii, and she does the Native Truth on the Native Roots Radio Network. We're going to be right back with Henry Boucher and Spike Moss, and we're going to talk about what's coming up tomorrow, the big march, and how much we need all these allies out there. You're listening to The Repartee on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Join the university's Bakken Center for Spirituality and Healing for two special events featuring senior MIT lecturer, founding chair of the Presencing Institute, and frequent Huffington Post contributor, Dr. Otto Scharmer. Monday, November 4th, Otto will be presenting a full-day workshop on sensing and actualizing emerging future opportunities, both individually and collectively. Participants will learn and apply the seven capacities of the deep leadership cycle that help change makers to transcend old behavioral patterns, realize new possibilities, and enable transformation and innovation. Light breakfast and lunch is included in the cost of registration. On Tuesday, November 5th, Otto Scharmer will be presenting a lecture called Moving from Ego System to Ecosystem, which will explore concepts of systems evolution and transformation in economies, healthcare, and education. He will make the case for a shift in consciousness and action from a focus on individual well-being towards that of the collective. Space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
Hey, it's Brett from the 4 p.m. show, and I got a crazy question for you. Is your home ready for the holidays? Yeah, I know it seems way too soon to be talking holidays, but they will sneak up on you. That's why I just use Zero Res to clean my carpets, so come holiday season, I'll have at least one thing off my checklist. And right now, Zero Res has an awesome carpet cleaning deal. 3-room Zero Resified starting at only $149. But you need to mention AM950 when you call. So call 9520-RES, mention AM950, and you'll be ahead of those sneaky holidays.
The Interact Center for the Visual and Performing Arts for Professional Artists with and Without Disabilities is celebrating the National Disability Employment Awareness Month, or NDEAM. Each October, NDEAM raises awareness about employment and celebrates the many and varied talents of America's disability population. Interact employs over 120 artists who produce amazing theater and visual art in the spirit of radical inclusion. Interact hopes you consider making a contribution in honor of an artist this October. Just visit interactcenter.org. If you support all Interact artists but don't know their names, you can put artists down in the honor box. So let's celebrate the Interact Center during National Disability Employment Month and honor these talented artists. Visit interactcenter.org to learn more. That's interactcenter.org.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
You're listening to the Rapartee on AM 950. Eric really pulls those songs out of nowhere. Welcome to the Rapartee on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I have got the great opportunity here to have a couple icons here on the show, and one of them is here, and it's Henry Boucher. Welcome to Native Roots. Welcome to the Rapartee. I almost said the wrong show. Sorry, welcome.
Well, thank you. It's it's always a pleasure to be on with you, Robert. Hold you in high regards, and I appreciate all the good work you do.
Hey, you got a really great connection here on the line. We have Spike Moss here that's helping out with the rally and the march. Spike, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, welcome to the Rapartee on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hey, why don't you guys have a quick conversation here, and I'll just sit back and tell us what's going to be happening.
Spike, you go back longer than I do, on the National Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media. But let me give you a recap first, and then I want to talk to Spike about his involvement over the years with Clyde and, you know, all of the things that he's done. And it's pretty reputable and impeccable work that you guys do. But anyway, on tomorrow, we're looking at October 24th. The Washington Redskins are coming to town. The National Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media will gather, first of all, at PV Park at 2 o'clock, where we're going to have a sacred fire. We'll have a pipe ceremony. We'll have our prayers. We'll drum. We'll sing. We'll gather there. We're giving out free T-shirts, water. We're doing a membership drive. We're handing out our educational information as well. We have some signs that we've made up that people can pick up and carry in our march. We have speakers that will be there. David Glass will MC that situation
and along that first with series. Mary Kanush Podine too.
Right, exactly. And that'll last until about 3:30 when we start gathering at the northwest corner of PV Park, where we'll engage in our march down Park to the Commons at U.S. Bank Stadium, where should take us about an hour and 15 minutes or so to gather down there. And, we'll have a great program down there. We have some, the Aztec dancers will be there in full force as they march with us. Mm-hmm. We're looking for a great crowd. The weather's supposed to be great with the sun out, not much wind. And we get a great program down there. We have, a flash mob
powwow
going on kind of in the middle of the the program and stuff. So, and then we'll do a round dance, somewhere in there. And we're going to have a good time. I think that, we're not, we're celebrating us. You know, the Native American people, we are totally, against the name, the Washington Redskins. And we just can't understand why it hasn't changed yet. And Spike and those guys have been fighting this for, some 30 years. And Spike and Clyde have been through a lot together. And why don't you give us some background on Spike Moss, Spike?
Well, I started out in 1966 with human rights issues as well as police brutality issues. And Clyde would come over and help us in the black community with those cases. And when they had cases in their community, we would go over and help him. So we had problems at Little Earth. We had problems, with discrimination, with racism, and we had problems with police brutality. And so we had fought that for a long time. And one day, Clyde called me up, and he said he was tired of looking at all these racist names and things on these teams, and he wanted to stand up. And I said, well, where are you going to start? Clyde said St. Cloud. And in the dead of the winter, we drove to St. Cloud, Minnesota, freezing cold, in the snow, cold weather, and we got to that stadium, which was a hockey stadium, and we protested outside. And when we protested, they got violent, they got crazy, they got to trying to put their hands on the women, and we just stood our ground. The next thing I know, Clyde said he's going to make a coalition to stand up against racism in sports and media, and would I come and be part of it? So one of the first things I did is become one of the national spokespeople for the group. The first place I went was San Francisco and Oakland, and then we did a big one in Washington, D.C., and then we did a big one here at the University of Minnesota, and we have just kept going with little or nothing, with absolutely no backing other than our heart and our courage to stand up for Native Americans. To answer the question, as a proud African American, our history in slavery, many slaves got away, but a lot of them found refuge in the villages with Native Americans. A lot of women married Native American men, and a lot of African American men married Native American women, and they survived and never went back into slavery. So it's a natural thing and a natural fit for African Americans who understand the history to stand up for Native Americans' humanness in this country as the original landlords in the indigenous people, to have the responsibility to stand up for them like they would you.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, that's beautiful history. What year was that?
When we came together?
Yeah.
Or when we went to St. Cloud? We went to St. Yeah. Cloud. It must have been 5 years ago now.
Okay.
About 5 years ago. And right. We've been at it ever since. We never gave up.
And well, that's a whole big thing about, you know, having a nonprofit like the National Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media. It's the sustainability. You know, we do a big march like we're doing tomorrow. You know, we've got backing from Mystic Lake, Mille Lacs. We've got support from all of the 11 tribes in Minnesota. Funding has always been an issue and, you know, sustainability. So now we're doing this particular march tomorrow, No Honor in Racism, and, you know, trying to change the name of the Washington Redskins. We are meeting with the NHL or the NFL owners, some of them, you know, sometime after this march, in the next few weeks, in a closed door meeting, just to get our dialogue started. And, you know, we're doing a membership drive, trying to, you know, raise funds for our mission. And, you know, in the past, we haven't been able to do that and find the funding, find the resources that we need for the sustainability of this force that we are all part of. And I think that now, we've gained enough support over the years that and people are understanding through education that, you know, things like this need to be done. And with the involvement of the Minnesota Vikings, you have to congratulate, Lester Bagley, who is the vice president. And then we've got the Minnesota Police Department, Minneapolis Police Department involved. They're very good to work with. You know, everything has been transparent in our meetings. We got the Minneapolis Park Police, and then we got the Metro Transit Police. We've got the Minneapolis Green Committee, and we've got the the Sports Facility Authority that's endorsed us to, and agreed to walk with us. So, you know, things are coming together. I think because of social media, I think we can get our word out there better. I think we can educate people better and, bridge the gap of understanding, for our culture, the Native American culture, how we do things, how we think, what have been oppressed over the years that you and Clyde, you know, have been fighting for. And we're just a continuation of your efforts earlier to be able to, you know, join hands and work for that common cause.
Hey, we got a little, we got to pay the sponsors here. Spike, can you hold on for another segment?
I can hold on as long as you need me.
All right, right on. You're listening to The Rapportee, and I'm with two legends here, Spike Moss and Henry Boucher, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
I think the internet is becoming a wild and dangerous place right now, and we rely on it for so much of our civil discourse these days, and it's becoming more and more vulnerable.
The concern that University of Iowa computer science professor Douglas Jones has about the potentially negative impact of the internet on the election process is widely shared. Facebook this week shut down four networks of accounts, pages, and groups for what they call coordinated inauthentic behavior, attempting to influence the 2020 election. Three of the networks originated from Iran and one from Russia. Given America's historic antipathy towards monopolies, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has said that breaking up big technology would make election interference more likely. The U.S. is behind the European Union on privacy protections and other attempts to bring safeguards to big tech platforms.
Right now, we treat them functionally as a utility, when in reality, they're more akin to a publisher. They curate the content that we see. We would allow no publisher to do what Facebook is doing.
That was presidential candidate and former Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke reacting to Facebook's standard advertising policy, which exempts ads for politicians from third-party fact-checking required of most other accounts. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren highlighted the dangers with her purposefully misleading Facebook ad last week. Reacting to Warren's call to break up big tech, here's O'Rourke.
And we will be unafraid to break up big businesses if we have to do that, but I don't think it is the role of a president or a candidate for the presidency to specifically call out which companies will be broken up.
As campaigns rely more and more on social media for grassroots fundraising, former HUD Secretary Julian Castro is following New Jersey Senator Cory Booker's example from last month, letting supporters know on Twitter that he may drop out if he doesn't reach his goal.
We've reached a critical moment in this campaign. We need to raise $800,000 in the next 10 days by the end of October 31st in order to keep going in this race.
Castro, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, has about $600,000 on hand. But the top three Democratic fundraisers, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, Warren, and South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, all have over $20 million. President Donald Trump, though, has more than any candidate of either party, with over $92 million. The center's Brendan Quinn says that's partly because Republican donors have just one major option.
There are a couple of challengers for the Republican nomination, but he's the incumbent and he's the biggest, strongest presence, whereas there are 20-plus options for Democratic donors to give to. While they are perfectly entitled to, and some are giving to multiple, if not all, of the Democratic candidates, their loyalty is going to be split.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
So the mouse and the cat cooperated. Assistant, what does cooperate mean?
Cooperate, to team up.
Okay, merge.
What does merch mean?
Merch, slang, bet on it.
Going to the Redskins game.
Assistant, what's a redskin?
Redskin, the scalped head of a Native American, collected by government bounty hunters and sold for $50 cash.
It's time to change the name. Join us at the Not Your Mascot March and Rally on October 24th. The march leaves PV Plaza at 4 p.m., and the rally begins at the Commons, west of the U.S. Bank Stadium at 5 p.m. Listen for more on this and other Native news every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m.
Sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian Country.
Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we are awake.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we believe everyone deserves a fair shot.
We believe in personal redemption and second chances, and that those who are dedicated to change and hard work should have the opportunity to achieve success and make a positive impact in the community. The men we embrace and serve have made mistakes, but they aren't bad people. We work with men who take responsibility for their past and are committed to doing better, who work to create a better life for themselves, their family, and the community. Learn more at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
With your AMAC 50 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, a chance of some sprinkles before 7 p.m. with a low of 31. Thursday, partly sunny with a high of 42 and a low of 29. Friday, sunny with a high of 50 and a low of 36, while Saturday will once again be sunny with temperatures in the 50s.
Litton's Party Value is your Halloween headquarters. All the Halloween-specific items will be an extra 20% off Litton's low warehouse prices. Shop Litton's Party Value's new location at 913 Plymouth Avenue North, Minneapolis. Free parking or shop Litton's online at partyvalue.com.
Hey, you're listening to the Repartee on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hey, I'm here with two legends right now. I'm here with Henry Boucher and Spike Moss, and we're talking about rethinking, replacing, and renaming this horrible name, and that's happening tomorrow. So again, welcome, Henry, and take it from here.
All right. Thank you, Robert. You know, it's been a pleasure meeting you here in the past few months. And I know we're friends on Facebook and stuff and pass things back and forth. And so I really appreciate you having us on. And let's talk, Spike, let's talk about the speakers list that we have, the common speakers. You know, we've got several great people coming in. We got D.C. Councilman David Grossel, who has, called us to come on and give a speech prior to the Redskins game. He's on the D.C. Council over there in Washington, D.C., and that was a little bit of a surprise. Being in Schneider country over there, that he would come and do that. What do you think?
I think it is great for everybody who's standing up at this time, because you can't go this alone, and we need help from everyone who cares about this issue.
I agree. And some of the other speakers, Peggy Flanagan, we've got Police Chief Henry Halverson. We've got Vice Chairman Keith Anderson from Mystic Lake. We've got Melanie Benjamin coming in from Mille Lacs. We've got Congresswoman Betty McCollum. We've got Lower Sioux President Robert Larson coming in. We also have Terry Nelson, who is from the Roseau River in Anishinaabe up in Canada. And, he's been a... quite a speaker and advocate for the Ogigida Society up in Canada, and he'll be down as well. And of course, presidential candidate Mark Charles, and so we've got a pretty good line of speakers. Of course, Spike Moss will be there to Jack Gipp, at PV Park, and then we've got. The collective, NDN collective, Nick Tilson, gonna speak. We've got, Robert Pilot, gonna be over there. Also, David Glass will MC that along with,
Mary Kanush Podine.
Mary Kanush Podine will also be there. So, and some other speakers that, we'll have a good,
don't leave out the mayor.
No, the boy mayor is gonna be there too. That's right.
I was just gonna say his name and that's right. Absolutely, we've got a great list of speakers. We've got a flash mob, like I said earlier, that it's going to take place. We've got,
it's going to turn into a powwow, a flash mob powwow. I hear.
Exactly. So, and that'll be, interesting to see that. We'll have, like I talked about funding before, we're going to do a membership drive for the coalition, and to be sure to stop in there to sign up. I think we're selling memberships, you know, at $20 for just this one time. And, you know, free T-shirts and water and of course, you know, signs. If you need one, you can use one of our signs. And you know, come on out and support.
Spike, I'm really excited because the one 5 years ago was just tremendous at TCF Bank, and we're looking for more people this year, it sounds like.
Well, I would hope so, because, you know, history is important. And as Henry was talking about the Redskin situation itself, when they started making that money, it was on the heads of Braves. But they brought so many bodies in town, those cities couldn't bury them. They said, just bring the scalps. Now, the reason I bring that up, once you go scalps, you can now take the scalp of a child or a woman and bring it in that bag on the side of your leg and get paid. So now we got wholesale murder to get a few dollars from Native Americans. So it's important that Native Americans stand up for themselves, stand up for their ancestors, stand up for their past so that they can see a future. Because the one thing I know about this country, when we don't stand up, they'll repeat it.
That's right. That's right. That's well said. You know, they were paying $50 in 1860, and then as close to 1900, it was $200 a scalp of Native Americans that they were doing. And that's where the Redskin name comes from. And I think a lot of people don't know that. And when you do know that, you know why we're marching, and you know why this is an issue with everybody like-minded.
Well, like when Clyde first started talking about racism in sports and media. Okay, you got a team, the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, if you think about the Chiefs, who were royalty in Native American tribes and nations, the Chiefs were murdered, they were imprisoned, they were put on the reservations, but colleges and universities would pickle them, their whole body, or their head. There's a story behind all of what Clyde is fighting for, which is the reason I felt very comfortable when asked to join him, because it's like flaunting it in your face what was done to you. We're going to flaunt it as long as you let us flaunt it, and now we're going to make a joke out of it like it's about a football team. No, it's not. It's about a vicious past of brutality committed on a people who lived here, the original landlords. This was done to them, the indigenous people. And so when we speak, we try to put the history in it, the pain of it in it, so that people understand you owe your ancestors. Just because you didn't go through it, you stand up for their tears. You stand up for their hardship, their misery, their incarceration, all their land being taken, their buffalo being slaughtered. You know what I'm saying? You stand up for that. They didn't just come to a village, they burnt the village. They didn't kill, they raped. They didn't just rape, they burnt and destroyed corn and the buffalo and poisoned the water. So we got to put the history with the story and then move from there. And then once we're teaching, which is what you're talking about, more people will join as we continue to go forward over the years and fight to make this change that has to be. As a black man, they use the N-word on us. I don't want to see no team with no N-word, period. Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, I couldn't have put it any better. Thank you, Spike. You know, it isn't, you know, I don't know if you heard of that young Native American pitching for the St. Louis Cardinals the last few days ago, and him speaking up changed things. You know, he couldn't believe in 2019 that they're still doing the tomahawk chop in Atlanta Stadium. So things changed, and we got to speak up, like you say, or they're going to just keep on doing it.
They'll keep on doing it. If you say you don't care, they'll keep going.
That's right. One person can make that difference, and he certainly did. And you know, basically, I think there's a few of us going down to meet with the Atlanta Braves when they put this on a platform. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what, you know, what they do and how far they'll go. But at least it's the dialogue that we all been looking for over the years. And it's just like the Cleveland Indians, you know, it's been a dialogue. We've protested and protested, you know, that team. And finally they got rid of, Chief Wahoo. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's going to take, an all out effort, to get this, Washington Redskins name removed. and renamed.
I'm asking you guys, but I think because I'm a high school teacher, I hear that, people that are young, the Gen Zs, can't believe that this is still going on.
Well, it's amazing. The kids are way smarter than we think they are. I appreciate, teachers have a rough job and certainly are underpaid, I believe, in this world we live in today. But these kids, you've got to give them a hand because it's something that, whether it's social media or these kids are intelligent. I think that they understand, the politics. They understand what happened. Not all of them, but for the most part, they certainly you're on the right track in the reflection of some of these issues.
Hey, that's our theme. Let's take a quick break here, and I'm with Henry Boucher and Spike Moss, and we're talking about There Is No Honor and Not Your Mascot, and you're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and we'll be right back.
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we never add fillers or basting solutions, just 100% pure turkey. And we're proud to remain an independent family farm. Looking for an extra special addition to this year's Thanksgiving feast? Our fresh, never frozen turkeys remove the hassle of thawing and can be picked up just days before your celebration. Available at natural food stores across the region. Reserve your fresh, free-range Thanksgiving turkey for pickup at our store right on our farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our retail partners. For more information on finding our Ferndale Market Thanksgiving turkey near you, visit us at ferndalemarket.com. That's ferndalemarket.com. Thank you for your support of local foods and farmers. We'll hope to see you at Ferndale Market soon. FerndaleMarket.com.
Marijuana legalization might not mean a lot to you professionally, but it may to your clients and employees, bankers and investors, property owners and landlords. Minnesota Lawyer has got your back with the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Denver-based researcher, the Marijuana Policy Group, will present data on the economic impact legislation has had in Colorado and how that might translate to Minnesota. You'll hear from professionals in other states that legalized marijuana about what's at stake for you. Human resources professionals can learn about the effects on employees and how the hiring process could change. Attorneys will learn how to protect their clients. Commercial real estate brokers and agents will hear about investment opportunities from an expert panel. Speakers include Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, Speaker of the House Ryan Winkler, and Senators Melissa Franzen, Jeff Hayden, and Scott Jensen, as well as several Minnesota business leaders. Learn strategies that work at the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Register now at canconmn.com.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
Total Dog Company has a great rewards program. It's called the Frequent Barker Card. You earn punches on the card based on the amount you spend, one punch for every $10. After you get 12 punches, you can redeem the card for $10 off a purchase. Everything we sell qualifies, so you get points and use points on things you really want. The Frequent Barker Program at Total Dog Company in New Hope, right off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North, and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about the joy of live fire cooking. Cooking over a live fire is the oldest and most basic form of cooking.
What's new is in the way fire is handled and its heat is managed.
It's easier to experience and enjoy the smell and taste of food cooked over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs live fire grills, fire pits, and ovens. Let us help you experience the smell, the taste, the fun of cooking with fire.
Pizza was first made and is still best made in an open fire oven. The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads, too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
I think he's picking the freakiest music for bumper music that he can find, huh, Eric?
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
Right on, right on. Hey, you're listening to the Rapartee on AM 950. Give us a call if you want. I'm here with legend Henry Boucher, and we have legend Spike Moss on here, and I'm just going to sit back and listen to these legends talk in this last segment. Welcome back, Spike.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Right on. So, Henry, let's go through what's happening and what time here as people are just getting in and out of their car.
Well, actually, I'm going to set up. I'm in charge of the fire, the sacred fire that we're having down there. So I'm going to be down there around 11, hanging banners. We'll start the sacred fire around noon once we get everything set up. We'll do a pipe ceremony then, and just stand in readiness and for the crowds to start arriving. We're going to basically say, come down whenever you're ready, we'll be there. But we had on our schedule at 2 o'clock, basically come on down, or any time before 4 o'clock, because we have to start our march right then, at 4 o'clock from the northwest side of PV Park. And we're going to have, our Eagle staff out there, which is our flag. And then, of course, we had the murdered and missing women, group that is going to carry our banner along with the children. Then that'll be how many, hopefully a couple of thousand, women and children out front, and then we'll have the Aztec dancers, probably 30 or 40 of them kind of in the middle, doing their thing. And of course, we'll have a drum up front. Coral Belcourt and Midnight Express will be in the back of a pickup, drumming and singing as we go down the street. And then, behind the Aztec dancers in the middle, we'll have another large group, and then we'll have a drum at the end of that. But we'll have a little Marcy from White Earth put together a little today that is kind of cute, and she's going to teach that to everybody at PV Park. As we march down the street, it's kind of a song that she will relay to everybody at that time. So we'll march down Park Avenue, arrive at the Commons around 5:15 to 5:30. We have the Minnesota or the Minneapolis Police Department squads, on the side streets, and then of course we have the bicycle police going beside us. We have mounted police on horseback up and down, and we have our own Ogidjada Society or AIMsters that are headed by Frank Perro that will definitely bring up our security and stuff.
Well, one thing I want to say too is everyone come out that supports this, because one of the things I know you guys have been planning this for a long, long time. You're crossing the T's and dotting the I's. People have been in the community have been listening. Sheriff Hutch told me that he heard from the Minneapolis police how professional you guys were and how respectful and how they're helping keep things going. And you guys have been doing this for a long time, since this summer, right?
Well, actually, it's been months. And, you know, it takes something like this, and we're just following, you know, Spike Moss's and, you know, Clyde's, you know, lead on this. And we're transparent. We're working with the public. We're working with the Minnesota Vikings. We're working with the Minneapolis Police Department. And when you do that and you're transparent, everybody gets along and everybody pitches in to help, and it makes it so much easier that, you know, we know what the other hand's going to do and be doing, you know, and it's all for the safety of the public and the, you know, and the marchers.
Right. Hey, Spike, do you have any last comments here before the end of the show?
Just to say, you know, the next thing for us and most important, the NFL commission, just like the college commissions, at some point we got to sit down with the people that control and own teams, so they clearly understand what the mission is, and we not have to continue to take it on one team at a time when most of them belong to some type of organization. We got to put ourselves in front of those organizations so they can hear the story of the indigenous people that live in this country and what they're going through and what they want to stop. So that would be our next step, is to finally get in front of these commissions.
Yeah, and it sounds like you guys do have plans doing that. I know you were talking about speaking with Atlanta and going other places, Henry.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it was Nick Tilson that his grandpa was a great lawyer from South Dakota, and he's a smart kid. And at the meeting with the Vikings, he, you know, he spoke up and said, you know, we would really like to meet you know, with you in regards to possibly dialogue with some other teams and the NFL to continue this and in a positive way. So, you know, that's going to happen behind closed doors. At least we'll have a dialogue started. And then, of course, we're going down to Atlanta to meet with the Atlanta Braves to discuss the Tomahawk Chop. So, you know, I was talking about sustainability. We need donations. We go to our website, National Coalition. We've got a box number, box 10581, National Coalition box 10581, White Bear Lake 55110. Make a donation or go to our webpage and hit donate.
Hey, we got Rick. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Spike.
If I might add to something Henry did not say, is when they ask for donations, that's what keeps us moving. None of us take a salary. Not Henry, none of us. They're all coming forward with their heart and their love for their people. And so this is about movement. It's not about us.